You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Astros win last night. 8-2. Broke out. How about, you guys with all your criticism of Miles Straw. How about Miles Straw triple, RBI triple? How'd that work out? Yeah.
Aren't you talking to yourself?
No. I'm talking to all the reckless talk about Miles Straw can't play Major League Baseball. Oh, really? Did you ever hit 203 in Major Leagues? No.
Could have.
No, you couldn't have.
Did you ever hit 167 or whatever?
171 is Kyle Tucker now.
Wow. K-Tuck is up there.
171. Straw's hitting better than Kyle Tucker. What kind of odds would you have gotten in the first month of the season that Miles Straw would hit more than Kyle Tucker?
I think Lance brought it up yesterday, but Kyle Tucker is what, like a 2-3 week stretch away from being a huge, huge trash heap, right, as an Astros batter? Like he's only had that 2-3 week stretch. We're like, wow, Kyle Tucker's swinging the bat well. Other than that, he's been terrible, right?
It's pretty much. He came up, when he first came up, he was like 0-50 or something.
Yeah.
Right? He couldn't hit at all. And then all of a sudden at the end of last year.
Of a tiny shortened season.
Yeah.
And he had some hits in the postseason too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, here we go. Here's our new George Springer. You're welcome. This is why no one would ever trade him, because he's that good. And now it's like, hey, this looks like Tyler White.
And Whitley.
Wouldn't never trade Tucker or Whitley. Couldn't.
Trade those two.
The Whitley thing is going to be like, is when you had a stock and you refused to sell your stock because you were being greedy, and then the stock started plumbing and you're like, well, I can't because it used to be worth that. No, you better dump that stock.
Ain't worth bleep
now. You
better
dump that stock.
Ain't worth bleep now. How about 13 hits? 13. They had 3 hits until the 9th inning in Colorado, the easiest park in the world to hit in, and they have 13 here. Just somebody explain it to me. I can't. Bregman looked good, 3-for-4. Looked really nice at the plate. Jordan is back. Brantley, Uncle Mike was hitting. Carlos Correa leading off. He's hitting .282 now. His OPS over 800. He's going to have to keep this up. He's better be over. It better be nice OPS this year, Carlos. But he, you know what? He keeps on. I mean, the numbers look good. Is Carlos really that impressive? I mean, is this really a $200-300 million guy?
No. Well, by today's standards, maybe. Oh, $200 million, yeah, for sure.
Really?
Well, everything else.
Now, George Springer didn't even get $200 million.
Well, George Springer got to the market too early. Yeah. And George Springer's older.
Too late.
That hurt him too.
31. That's where he's hurt.
Carlos isn't. You look at Lindor, you look at Tatis, you look at their age, and yeah.
Well, Tatis like is 20. He's a different deal.
Well, he's a $300 million plus guy.
Well, yeah, but Carlos is going to be 27. Tatis is 23.
Still very young.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, $200 million is the bottom of the barrel Carlos is taking.
I can't. Well, then he's going to have to go. Got to go. Sorry. Got to go. We'll put Aledmus Diaz at third. Bregman at short. That's what we'll do. Aledmus Diaz has played for now 3 weeks, and he hasn't even gone on the DL. So congratulations to him. I mean, that's quite the accomplishment for both he and Carlos. Aledmus Diaz hasn't had a hamstring in 3 weeks.
It's a blessing.
It is.
Like Will Fuller of the Astros.
Right.
Well, we've had too many Will Fullers of the Astros. A shortstop, a starting pitcher, and now a utility man.
We got and Chris Paul.
I like one Will Fuller of a team, not three. And I don't even really care for one.
All our teams. Chris Paul was that.
It's always been like that.
Yeah.
Chris Paul was that. Yao was that. Tracy was that. We had to live with Yao and Tracy being constantly hurt all the time. Dwight Howard. Remember when Dwight Howard would get a shot and he'd be really good and then it'd wear off and he would go back to like, hey, this isn't what we were hoping he'd be.
Oh, my God. Y'all are selling Tucker. Are underselling Tucker. He had way more than 3 good weeks, and he's hitting to more bad luck this season than anyone on the team, including one last night.
He had more than 3 weeks.
He has had his exit velo has been pretty good, and he has hit into some bad luck. He's also looked like crap, Jackie. He's also looked like crap.
Stop with your five. Hey, this guy with the 586 OPS. You guys are selling him short. That's a good 586. Yeah, I guess.
That's the good kind of 586 OPS, Jackie? That's what you want in your lineup? Okay. No, you know what? Put him back at the top of the order. He's hitting 171. Let's get him as many at-bats as possible. Hurry up.
Shut up, Jackie.
Yeah, you stupid Jeff. Got to listen to girls talk. It's funny to hear females talk.
By the way.
It's funny to hear females talking about OPS.
Yeah, just for anyone tuning in who just happened, hey, let me try 97.5. Oh, that's very misogynistic. Jackie's not really a woman.
What?
That's just the bit.
That's just a bit we do. We got to understand that.
Yeah, John, your words have consequences.
Not everyone knows everything, every joke we make on this show.
Yeah. Matter of fact, they don't know most.
Yeah.
Your words have consequences.
Jackie's a guy?
Jackie is a guy.
I didn't know
who
that.
Has a cabana boy named Raheel.
There's no one. No Jackies are named guys. That's just silly.
Well, there is one, and he's apparently done with baseball.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at how
he's done with baseball.
Dumb with baseball.
Oh, dumb with baseball. Doesn't know baseball. That's true. All right.
By innings.
So the bigger question is how similar are Lovie and Rack? I don't. Why does it have to be like
DCs? Rack?
Yeah, I guess. But
that's why. Well, Rack wasn't great. Well, Rack had his moments.
Well, Lovie's a fourth.
Yeah, actually, I can't.
Rack was a good DC.
Rack had nothing. Well, that was Anthony Weaver last year.
Lovie's a 4-3 guy.
Yeah.
Rack was a 3-4 guy. So as far as scheme itself, at least the overview was not similar.
What did you just say? I got something from a female listener who said, screw you, John.
See, I told you.
What did you just say? What did he just
say? It's funny to hear women talk about
females. Oh, females.
That's why I had to try to explain it. It's a joke from Cam Newton, who said this. What did he say, John?
It's funny to hear a female talk about routes.
So we have, like I said, not routes. Everyone knows routes. Our that dumb felt. Bits. So someone just tunes in. John really said that about women?
No,
he really
females,
did.
Not women. First of all,
second, okay. Females talk about
females.
Okay,
and secondly, Jackie's not a woman.
No, he's a guy.
Oh, my gosh.
A guy who won't shut up, but he's a guy.
Yeah, you're wrong, Jackie. He had a good August. September, October, 102 plate appearances, 3 home runs, 13 RBIs, which is fine, 17 strikeouts, 7 walks. You know, his OPS during that time was 735. In July, his OPS was 747. He had no home runs. Well, not many at-bats. But in August, 104 at-bats. 6 home runs, 24 RBIs. You know, that's so in the neighborhood of being a 30 home run guy. That's not bad.
He had a good 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, and his OPS was 960. He had a good 26 game run. You know, that's more than 4 weeks. Jackie's right. That's more like 5 weeks in baseball.
How many games
they play? 1.5 to 5 weeks.
How many games they play per week in baseball?
And that's it. Last year was quite
six
a bit, a week. Actually.
They played 6 weeks. So it's about 4 weeks. Four
six
plus
to
weeks.
Seven a week.
Yeah. About 4 weeks.
Yeah,
last year was 4 weeks. Yeah, he had his month. So, Jackie, just stop.
We told you to stop talking to us. Jackie.
Yeah,
you don't know what you're talking about.
Unless you can come up with, unless you have the numbers that we have at our disposal.
You mean?
Like OPS and strikeouts and home runs. Don't even step to this. We've got FIPS also. What's the one where it takes into account luck?
Yeah. Ha, ha, ha. Maybe y'all should stick to talking about doo-doo popcorn and letting callers publicly shame potential sexual assault victims. I'll handle the baseball knowledge.
It's terrible.
Yeah, Jackie. Okay.
Yeah. Ha, ha.
Uh-huh.
Very funny, Jackie.
Ha, ha, ha. No matter how good Kyle Tucker turns out, some folks will be hung up that the Astros didn't trade him for Jacob DeGrom if that deal was ever on the table. We don't know that. We don't know that.
But that is true, though.
Yeah.
People are going to be hung up on it.
Yeah, every Kyle Tucker, Forrest Whitley trade, every single one, you would rather have anybody who was on the table for those two right now. Anybody. Now, Kyle Tucker has not played well, Jackie. You can go ahead. Yeah, Jackie. You keep on trotting him out there. Put him in a leadoff spot, Jack.
Dummy.
You and Pawpaw.
We're tired of your stupid moves, Jackie.
Yeah, Jackie.
Dummy.
Somebody needs to ban him from baseball.
Jackie? Yeah.
At least talking baseball. He can watch. We just don't need him talking.
Yeah, just don't talk about routes or baseball. It's funny to hear Jackie talk about
it. It is funny to hear Jackie talk about baseball.
928 ESPN 97.5. How about hoops? How about Craig Dayserf got a hoop sporting goal and equipment.
He loved it. He said it was awesome. The whole experience was awesome.
It really
is. He sent a picture to me.
Yeah. And you know what? You go to the website, produnkhoops.com, and you're going to see pictures of all of the kids hanging from the rim, okay? Because they can dunk. They can lower the goal, and they can dunk. And if you're looking for, if you're looking over there, that's bad. If you're looking for the best way for your kids to actually enjoy the hoop, see, Craig the Surf isn't the tallest of guys, so I would imagine his offspring aren't going to be all that tall. So here's the deal. His kids can dunk because, well, they're short, but they can still dunk, okay? Because you can lower the goal, and the kids want to have fun, and they want to enjoy basketball, Dad. They don't want a 10-foot goal that nobody can reach, can't enjoy it. The hoops goal is the best. Lower and raise the tempered glass backboard, the unrustable stanchion, and all of the assembly and installation is just a second to none. You're looking for the best goal in the history of the world. ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Look at Raheel. You see what he... This is... Look at what he did. Raheel tweets this out. What's the best piece of advice you've ever gotten about life? And he's got all kinds of response. Be yourself. Stop effing up and be better.
Never burn bridges.
It's not who's right. It's what's right. Here's one. Look, son. I've known you about 8 years now, and I can tell you something for certain. Unless you're standing in a room by yourself, you will never be the best looking, most talented, most charming, or smartest person in the room. So you need to be the best dressed. That's a great thing to tell an 8-year-old.
Brandy,
unless you're in a room by yourself.
Yeah. Hey, it's just called real.
I love
talk.
That. But you know,
Brandy from KHOU, prove them wrong.
Prove them wrong.
It doesn't, guys. Come on.
You
he
know that Raheel just muted
he can't
the
even
conversation,
hear you.
Right?
He hasn't even liked one of your comments.
Not once. Not
listen
one.
More than you speak.
He muted. He put that out there so you would all bite. You would all respond with something really sappy. And he's muted the conversation.
This guy says, don't let your bleep run your life. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good advice. Don't let that run you. Yeah.
What would Red Raider Kevin?
I don't know. But we did have comments. We did have some comments that he and John Clay Wolf would have a great show.
Yes, they would.
We had a comment. That where are the other ones? This is really
no. Yeah, we don't want any Red Raider Kevin comments.
No. Can you guys explain to me what the difference is? Nope. Not reading that one.
Anyway, Red Raider Kevin made a comment about the Deshaun Watson case that you don't want to listen to in the 7 o'clock hour. Here's the deal. The Deshaun, they went. Channel 13 had an expert, a lawyer that was breaking it down and recounting what happened yesterday in the courtroom. And he said there was it's a lot of showmanship. That's basically what it is. There was a lot of stuff that can be done behind the scenes. But they were, you know, they have to make sure that they're playing who has the biggest one right now. And The thing about it was that a half a dozen or so of the accusers showed up in the courtroom after Rusty Harden called them liars. And they wanted to show Rusty Harden, we ain't backing down, bro. You can call us liars, but guess what? We're here, and we're standing by what we said. So that was interesting. That was an interesting development yesterday. What happened yesterday was a lot of minutia that happens in civil cases. And But this is going to be a long, drawn-out process. This is going to be a process that is going to – if we thought that – here's what's going to happen is Deshaun is probably going to have to be on the exempt list.
Yeah, I don't see any other way. I don't see any other way around it.
I mean, when it comes, and we're still in the middle of all this stuff, and we're in training camp. Now, Deshaun would rather be on the exempt list because he doesn't count against the he gets paid.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't just if he just doesn't show up, then he doesn't get paid, and it's not time served as far as his contract goes.
Yep.
So he would still have 5 years left. If he's on the exempt list, I believe he's going through a year of his contract and he's getting paid.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So that year. I mean, but if you want to know the truth, Deshaun would rather be on the exempt list.
Except when he gets suspended.
Suspended, then it's without pay.
Yeah. And eventually he will get suspended.
Yeah.
Exempt lifts, exempt lifts means you can't play, but eventually he's going to get suspended too.
Yeah. Now, Antonio Brown did not make the exempt list. He just got suspended. The Patriots cut him, though.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Maybe the league just goes, you know what? We've investigated it too, and you are suspended, Deshaun. We're not going to put you on the exempt list. We're going to suspend you. So now he doesn't get paid. It's going to be no matter what, this is not going to go. This is not going well for the Houston Texans. This is not a positive. No, well, there's nothing positive about it for the Houston Texans. But if he's suspended, does his contract start too, or does it suspend his contract as well?
Ooh, I don't know.
I don't know.
I've never seen anything like this. So I don't know.
I don't know.
I have to try to ask. This year isn't the new money, though, is it?
This year is still the last year of his 5-year deal.
I don't think it really matters.
Well, no, it does matter because you still want that last year of the 5-year deal.
Oh, to count. Yeah.
To count.
Oh, no, it counts. It counts as time served because you're getting paid. I don't know how that works because that's not fair to the NFL team.
No, it's not.
They must be able to get it back maybe from insurance.
Well, all they can ask for is just no, because they're not paying him. If he's suspended, they're not paying him, so they're not losing that money. Well, they can ask for his signing bonus back, though.
They can, and they probably should, if they're going to lose out on that money, and they could go after his entire contract. Now, if you do that, you're going to lose him as a tradable commodity.
Yes. Yeah.
But
you lose that asset.
I had an agent tell me it might be worth it for the Texans to just go after the money and not have to pay him any of the money. You're going to save cap space. You would save your signing bonus. He'd have to come up with that, which he isn't going to have the money for signing bonus.
Yeah, but you lose a couple of first rounders that you could possibly get for him.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good idea, personally.
No. I mean, what's more important, that money?
Hey, right now, rebuilding the team
is more
important.
What's more important, that cap space or getting a couple of first
rebuilding
rounders?
The team is more important.
Yeah.
His value is not so much the money and getting the money back. Of course, I say that without having to pay the money. But to me, the value is more of what can Deshaun Watson bring you in terms of team equity. That's more, to me, more valuable than worrying about going after your signing bonus is gone. Your $27 million or whatever you gave, Deshaun's been traveling and doing all this and that. He's going to have to pay Rusty Harden. You ain't getting $27 million back.
No.
I can tell you that. That's not coming back.
No. He's got nice cars. He's got, you know, trips, boats. Deshaun's living good.
It's not just coming back.
Yeah. He's got a lot of Instagram stuff going on. So Deshaun's living a good life. And it's not a great life so right now, but he's been living it up.
He's been living a life.
Yeah. So the whole thing sucked. This whole can't be worse. Can't suck more. Keith wants to get in here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Keith?
Good morning, guys. I got two Texans questions for you. I'll ask the questions and then I'll just hang up and listen. I do have a very brief comment before each one. So number one, Lance, you had said not too long ago on Twitter that you thought the Texans had improved the offensive line. So the first question is, what do you think of the moves Caserio, has made so far? And then number two, Lovie Smith got to a Super Bowl as a head coach with Rex Grossman as his starting quarterback. And I don't care how long ago that was. I think it's 15 years ago. The man deserves some credit for what he did. If I'm not mistaken, I believe that was the first Super Bowl where both coaches were African-American. So here's question number two. What do you guys think of Lovie as the new DC? Thanks.
So Lovie's been a head coach for a while. I don't know about a DC. I mean, I know when he was originally a defense coordinator, he was heralded. I know what he did with Chicago. He did a great job with Chicago in building that 4-3 attacking front and the way that he did things, slightly different now. They ran a lot of cover two back then, and they had their cornerbacks were a little different. You know, they didn't care if they ran as much as they wanted them to make plays and be good against the run. Getting a Super Bowl with Rex Grossman really is irrelevant. I mean, they had their Super Bowl also came with a very good running back and Sed Benson. They had a great defensive line with guys like Tommy Harris, and you had Brian Urlacher and Lance Briggs. I mean, you had a really Peanut Tillman, who's a future Hall of Famer, should be. This is, I mean, they had a phenomenal defensive unit. That's in no way, shape, or form is that where Houston is now. They don't have the talent for that. Do I think Lovie recognizes talent? Yeah, I think there's still a chance Lovie recognizes what it should look like. But as far as him defensively, I mean, I think Lovie knows what it's supposed to look like. He's got a background of doing it. I think the league is a lot different than when Lovie's Chicago Bears went to the Super Bowl. Doesn't look the same now. The offenses are much different. And even though he was at Illinois as the head coach, the Big Ten is not the most advanced league. I understand that they started doing a lot more offensively over the last 3 or 4 years, so it looks more like the rest of college football. But
how long has Lovie been a defensive coordinator?
In his life?
Yeah.
2 years?
Three.
Yeah. It was because he got the head coach job right after
that. Yeah. Uh-huh. And the Rams kind of fell apart. I mean, 2001, mm-hmm. they were good when mm-hmm. he was DC.
Now, Lovie ran that defense in Chicago for a while.
But yeah.
And then they brought Marinelli over. But, yeah, so Lovie has been a
Lovie's been
a big, big part of that. As far as Nick Sirianni's moves.
But I don't think he was calling the defenses at the time. It's probably been a while since he's called defense.
Unless he did it at Illinois.
Don't know that, but.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times head coaches with a specialty will do that as well. Maybe. So.
Offensive guys do. You rarely see guys a head coach call defense.
Listen, I think Lovie Smith also brings. He brings a calmness to the field. Lovie is a very calm. You don't cuss in front of Lovie either, by the way. Ballard told me that when he was with Chicago Bears. Lovie is it will take like they had to calm John Hoke down. They had to let John Hoke know. When John Hoke, the former DB coach for the Texans, went to the Chicago Bears, they had to tell Hoke, hey, it's different here than when you and Reggie Herring were just sitting there mother bleeping everybody on the Hoke wasn't that bad, but Hoke would cut some loose. He would cut some Reggie would.
Yeah.
Reggie was that bad. But Hoke would cut some bad words loose like a lot of coaches do.
And
that,
Grantham. And
Grantham was too, yeah. Oh,
those guys.
So it's funny because that's not how Gary Kubiak really was as a person. But Hoke would cut some loose, and they had to tell him, hey, that's not the way it is with Lovie. You need it. And every once in a while when somebody would start really dropping the F-bombs or whatever, Lovie would have conversations with coaches like, we don't talk that way to players here. He's a guy that players are going to really like. He's older now, but there's a calmness to him. There's a professional demeanor. I like what he's bringing into the building. Yeah. He's bringing something into the building that's anti. You can't get further away from Bill O'Brien than Lovie Smith.
No.
And that's a good thing to me. I don't mind that. Yeah.
Whoa.
That's not a Lovie Smith.
I don't think Lovie's going to do that.
That's not a Lovie Smith. But Lovie Smith's also, A, not the head coach. He's defensive coordinator. So we'll see what Lovie can do. And as far as Nick Caserio, I like his moves fine. I think all it is you got a bad salary cap year because it went down. Agents aren't looking for long-term deals. You fill in the pieces to try to make as competitive a team as possible. You want competitive, more than even being a competitive team, you want them competitive at their position groups. You want guys fighting for roster spots, fighting for playing time. And they've done that. You can't make long-term moves when your salary cap gets crushed like this. You got no quarterback in play other than a veteran, you know, a journeyman, basically, is what Taylor is becoming. I mean, what do you want Nick Caserio to do, sign long-term contracts? No. Nick is doing what he has to do. He's filling in spots so he doesn't have to reach in the draft, and then we'll see what he does with the draft. I think what he does in the draft is a big determinant on what Nick Caserio is doing. I would be shocked if he does not trade back and add picks. I just don't expect him to pick where he is. I think he will be moving back frequently. And the idea will be, we know what our guys are supposed to look like. We'll find out if he does. But his argument is going to go, we know what our guys are supposed to look like, and we don't have to pick right here. We can pick 30 spots from here and still get a guy that we really like and pick up another pick.
Yep. All right, because guess what? Third and fourth rounders might start for us.
Oh, they, like I said, I think they will
start. Yeah, right.
Texas Custom Patios is starting for you. They're your number one. They're the P1, Patio One. That's who they are, and they're the starter. Stephen Schell and his group do an amazing job. They've got part of their business is in Dallas. They've got business here in Houston. They got a sales staff that covers the entire Houston area. They have thousands of patios under their belts. And when you go look at the work that they've done, they win awards every single year for being one of, if not the best builder in the entire state of Texas for outdoor living. I call it a patio. Really does it as a disservice. It's an outdoor living space. It's an outdoor kitchen. They can build sunrooms. They can build standalone pool houses that are places where you would want to live. I mean, truly, go to the website at Texas Custom Patios and see for yourself. Go look what he did for my house at tcplance.com. You'll see that it's fairly basic, and yet it looks incredible. I mean, that's the work that they do. Texas Custom Patios wants to turn your house into a home, and they want to do it with honesty, integrity, a fair price, and service and craftsmanship that is above anything that you could have possibly expected. TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
.931 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. 713. Oh, here's our daily dusty screwed up update. Spencer's here. And every show, Spencer's going to bring to
what
the table.
What did Dusty do now?
What did Pawpaw do tonight? Last night? And what, Spencer, welcome back. What did Pawpaw do last night?
Man, he hit it out of the park. You know,
thank
if
you.
I'm going to call and complain when if he's going to if I'm going to complain when he does bad, I got to give
fair.
Him credit. You know, when I saw the lineup, Correa number one, put Gurriel Lahota Tucker, put Straw at the bottom of the lineup. He hit it out of the park. It was fantastic. So, kudos to him. I don't know if it was him or Joe Espada or Click or whoever it was, but I mean, if he's going to get blamed for bad lineups, he needs to get credit for good ones.
Yeah.
So, good on him. And you know, and it's weird with Correa because Springer became a better hitter at the leadoff spot, and I know it's only one game, but I'd be really curious to see how Correa would end up doing long term up there because I think he has the potential to be a really good hitter, and who knows? But for one game at least, Dusty hit it out of the park, and I thought that even before the game started. And I know he's young, but Javier is nasty. And he doesn't have the same sort of breaking stuff that Oswalt did, but he reminds me a lot of Oswalt because he just changes the eye level with every pitch. I mean, he's only throwing 92, 93, but it's up, down, left, right, and it just he's just filthy. And the main thing that reminds me about Oswalt, he just has ice in his veins. He just stands there and just stares at the hitters, and he's just like, what's up? Let's play. And Oswalt is the same way. So I think he's pretty good. I mean, I was very high on Urquidy. He's shaky so far, but Javier looks really, really good. So that's it.
Yep.
So go Dusty.
Dusty looks like a much better manager when they score 8 runs.
It helps.
Listen.
Kind of like A.J. Hinch was. He had offenses that scored runs now.
Oh yeah. Well, he, you know what? You know, he put Springer up at the top of the, and their record with Springer at the top of the order, it was great. Not as great as Carlos's. 1,000. They're 1,000 now that when Carlos is, or did he lead off earlier in the year? I forget. Did Carlos lead off earlier in the year?
No, I don't think he did. It was just Altuve. It was only at the end of spring he did, but that was it.
Whatever the case may be, they won last night. Carlos was at the top of the order. It changes everything. It changes everything. So, congratulations. Batting number one in 2020. Well, apparently he has. No. No. I'll figure. I don't know if that was the first time. But anyway, they won. They scored 8 runs, and Carlos Correa was the leadoff batter. They're a great team now. 934 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Apparently, did you see that the Eagles were laughing at, or the Vikings were laughing at the Eagles when they didn't select Justin Jefferson?
Did they? Oh,
the reaction.
Oh, yeah, because everyone thought the Eagles, and then I had heard that Jalen Reagor is going to be the guy. And sure enough, he was the guy. And they didn't think they had any chance of getting him. They didn't think they had any chance that he was going to fall to them. And when they did, and then he came out and said, yeah, I thought I was going to the Eagles, but I'm glad I went to the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
I like that dirty ass, trash ass city.
I wasn't wondering. See, I didn't have to say, Dell, what do you think? I just trusted that Dell would have that soundbite ready for Philadelphia. I trusted it. He would have it because I feel like he's competent at his job.
Well, anytime he could play that dirty ass, trash ass city, he's going to play.
Philadelphia.
It is Philadelphia.
Dirty ass, trash ass city. I mean,
you have to explain to people that don't know.
That's true. Denzel Mims asked on some stream after he was drafted by the Jets. Apparently, the Eagles were interested, because they did take a receiver. He was asked about his time in Philly in the tour, and they say, hey, did you like Philadelphia, Denzel?
I didn't like that dirty ass, trash ass city.
No, apparently not. And is he wrong about that?
I didn't like that dirty ass, trash ass city.
I feel like he isn't.
No. No one likes that dirty ass, trash ass city. Listen. What did you have? What kind of grade did you have on Jefferson?
First round grade, about where he got drafted.
Yeah,
I liked him.
I didn't think he was going to be this good.
I questioned whether he could play outside, which he has. He's played outside. I thought he was better as a slot because he looked a lot better as a slot in 2019 than he did playing outside in 2018. But Justin Jefferson is a lot like Joe Burrow in that they weren't as good in 2018, and then their 2019 versions are versions of their best selves.
Well, he was, and he made unbelievable catches.
He got better as a player. By the way, Justin Jefferson had great ball skills and all that stuff. He's always had that, but Justin Jefferson got better as a football player his last year. He really did. He was not this good his junior year or sophomore year, whatever it was. Justin Jefferson last year, not as a rookie, but as last year at LSU, he was just much better. They did a good job of developing him. And he's kept working on his game, obviously, because that dude could play last year. Or you could argue that he was rookie of the year, except for the fact that it's such a hard position, quarterback. But don't look now, but wide receivers considered a pretty hard position as a rookie too. And Justin Jefferson had no problem.
Yeah, no, he played. He played well, way above what I thought he was going to play. He was great at LSU. But I like Ja'Marr Chase better. Ja'Marr Chase was the Biletnikoff winner, so he played pretty damn well. There's no question about that.
He's got something to live up to. We're talking about Jefferson went for 88 and 1,400 yards. I don't think, Ja'Marr Chase does that. Credit to him, but that's a high standard.
Well, Ja'Marr Chase is going to a place that's a higher, that is not as good a team.
If he goes to Cincinnati, I mean, the Vikings weren't great, by the way. What did they win, 7 games last year?
No, but at least he had a quarterback.
Well, Joe Burrow's there.
Yeah. Well, if he goes to Cincinnati. If he doesn't?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a chance he goes to Carolina? There's a chance he goes to Denver?
Do you think he would get past Miami if Cincinnati doesn't take him?
Where's Pitts going? That's the question.
Well, if Pitts goes 4, which some people think. Yeah, it all depends on where things fall.
I think they trade down.
I think they could trade, but I think it's probably going to be Pitts and 4, 5, 6 in no particular order is going to be Pitts and Ja'Marr Chase and a quarterback. And then one quarterback's going to fall back. So I think it's going to be Pitts, Ja'Marr Chase. I do think it is possible that Miami could trade back again.
What about the Bengals trading back? We never talk about that.
Yeah, they could trade back too. I mean, honestly, 9 is the sweet spot because you're going to get your hands on an offensive lineman or a pass catcher.
You can still get Waddle.
That's what they want. That's what an offensive lineman or a weapon. If you go to 9, if Denver wants to move up to 5, yeah, that's 4, 5, 6, one of those teams is trading.
You got to trade.
One of them's trading back. They just don't want to trade back too far. You don't want to trade back to 15 because you'll miss out on the offensive linemen and the pass catchers. So going to 15 is only if you are somebody who's more in rebuild mode. And frankly, that's more Falcons than I think Bengals. I think the Bengals are saying, "Yeah, we've been rebuilding. We kind of want to get the best players now." And that's why I've always believed in not drafting Penei Sewell there for the Bengals. But, okay. Take a special playmaker.
Well, unless Joe really has convinced them, we got to get Jamar Chase. I need how much better we'll be. Or
I've heard Joe's fighting.
Yeah, well, probably
Joe's fighting.
But if they
scenes.
Say no, we need to protect you. We're going to get Penei Sewell. Go back and get Slater at 9, and
let's trade back. Oh, Sewell may still be on the board.
Yeah,
trade back if. But that's if 9 wants to move up.
But you, if you're going to be a smart organization, you can still get that special guy at 9, and you can get extra picks.
I guarantee if you don't do it, Miami will.
Yeah.
Because they clearly, I don't know if Miami's smart or if they just beat up on the dumb kids from the Texans. It just feels like they took advantage of the Texans kids. It feels like something that would have got Miami suspended from school. Or they would have been tasked with bullying. Yeah, like, you know... The psychological damage that you inflicted on...
They bullied the bully.
They did, but they also inflicted... Like, there's certain people
they were my bodyguard.
No, I don't want to go too far with this. I know what I want to say if the microphones weren't on.
Yeah, we know.
The microphones are on, so what they did was they took advantage...
Of a
team that didn't have full full faculty.
Well, we have
they're not capable of making those decisions.
I don't know what. How else could you put that?
We have to figure out: is there another team with a coach who's acting as a GM? Because Kyle Shanahan was acting as a GM for the 49ers.
I mean, look what he did.
Is there another coach out there acting as a GM that the Dolphins can take advantage of?
He's already clowned two head coaches acting as GMs.
Is there another one out there? In the
Who
top was? 10.
Belichick.
No.
Belichick.
But they don't want to go down that far.
Belichick's next.
Yeah, but they don't want to go down that
That's
far.
That's division two in the division.
Fangio's not acting as a GM?
I think we're all
Denver.
Out of that.
No.
I think that model's all
Fangio's
pretty much
lucky
played
to
out.
Have a job. Yeah. He ain't
Urban
telling
Meyer
nobody what
is,
to do in that
Is
movie.
There any chance that Urban is that guy? You can't mess with Urban.
Is
though.
Matt Rhule acting as the GM in
Ooh,
Carolina?
Ooh, that's a good one. Rhule versus his GM. He got a GM.
His guy?
Fitterin, I think.
Who got hired first?
I don't think it was his guy. I think it was the owner's guy.
Who got hired first?
Oh, no. Matt Rhule did.
So Rhule probably had to approve.
Rhule has a lot of juice over
so
there.
So if
Matt Rhule might be the guy, but they're not trying to trade up, I don't think.
They don't. Well,
they're not going to 8-6. Quit trying
come
to
on.
Bill O'Brien
Let's go.
Everybody. Do you know how many draft
they've
picks
already done
they've
it twice.
Gotten out of, literally, out of Kyle Shanahan? We saw it before. How many first-round picks? Laramie Tunsil brought 4 first-rounders. This is a disgrace.
Find me a coach who needs to move up. Give me one more.
This is an absolute disgrace that this is happening in society now. Come on.
Holly says she's about had it with us all. We don't take no orders from no woman.
Why? Because she's an Eagles fan?
Oh, it's about Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's the Philadelphia.
Well, we don't take no orders from no woman.
I don't say that.
You say
you
it.
You say it all the time.
No, I don't say anything. I don't play that because I believe it. I play it because it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. The dude was on TV and he decided he needed, by the way.
I don't take no orders from no woman,
by the way. That's why I play it because it's crazy.
Who does that sound like, by the way? The accent. It's a little gruffer, Kevin McHale.
What?
Think about it. Kevin McHale had that Minnesota. He has got that Minnesota accent. It's just a little more gruff.
Yeah.
Because when it first came out, when I first heard that back in like 2016 or 15, I was like, that's got a little Kevin McHale vibe.
I don't take no orders from no Harden, by the way. Actually, you do take orders from Harden.
Yeah, you do.
Yes, you do.
And if not, you get fired.
And that's what happened.
That's exactly what happens. 943 ESPN 97.5. Time for Lance to talk about what? My peeps, Rick and Michelle.
Oh, Texas Star Grill Shop. Yeah. So do you know when you go there on the weekend's one of the best times to go. Go on the weekend, you check out all the awesome grills that they have. They got the St. Arnold beer that you can imbibe in. And so you got yourself a beer. They've got food samples from the food that they have cooked on one of the grills out there. It might be Pits and Spits, might be a Traeger Timberline. A lot of times it's Traeger. It's easy to move. But no matter what it is that you're looking for, Big Green Egg. Some people swear by Big Green Egg. Did you know that there is a great sale going on with Big Green Egg with Pits and Spits if you want local. Traeger Timberlines, never been easier to hook it up with. Bluetooth it to your phone and you work off the app. You can do everything with it. They've got every marinade. Aaron Raybould reached out to me and was asking about, hey, how'd you get the bark on the on your last brisket? And I told him exactly what I used. And one of the things I used is Hardcore Carnivore that they told me about at Texas Star Grill Shop. I had no idea about that. And that's, I mean, it's they know everything and they will really help you find the right grill for you, for your budget. And also all the amenities and seasonings and everything that they have in there, they will help you become a pit master before you know it. It's going to be amazing. And they've got four locations in Houston, including a brand new one in Woodway. But at every single location, they're out there making food on Saturday so you can actually taste the difference with TexasStarGrillShop.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
How about Vegas? You don't see this too often. BetMGM, they had a typo in the Browns-Chiefs game.
Did you hear what it was? Instead of putting 300 yards, it was 0-0. They forgot to put the 3 in. So 9 different people got in on the action with the limit of both Baker Mayfield and Pat Mahomes had to both hit 0 yards. So as soon as either one of them completed a pass, it was a winner. They got it fixed pretty quickly, but 9 people got action on it, and they were going to look to void. A lot of times those bets are voided.
Yeah.
Like if you go through a local company, they'll just void the bets, and that's that. They have to do an investigation in Vegas to find out if that was, you know, somebody's trying to screw over the business and if there's somebody else in on it. They have to do big investigations. So basically, the MGM determined it was a total accident. They're going to avoid the investigation. Just pay the $10,000 and that's it. And it was a $10,000 loser. I remember when that happened with either FanDuel or DraftKings, and it cost them 82 G's on one bet. One guy got them for 82,000. But yeah.
Well,
a little over 10,000, yeah, I think is what
10,500. They paid it off. What about, like, I forget what controversial ending did we, was it the Seattle, I think it was the Seattle Green Bay game when they called a touchdown
and the Hail Mary game.
It was
that one from years ago.
No, not the Hail Mary. No, not the Hail Mary. The referee, one referee went touchdown, the other one went incomplete.
No, it was where
he
Russell
put up the touchdown.
Russell Wilson
threw it up late.
That was years ago. I think his rookie year. I need a Green Bay to. It was so many parlays. It was tied to that.
But I think
I lost.
There was a couple sides paid off both sides.
That's
goodwill. No, that's great will.
Why I'm saying no. What was it? No? It was called a catch. Game over.
Yeah, but rookie said, you know what? That was so egregious. That was such a terrible call. We're going to pay both sides.
That is the only time that's happened in the history of gambling. History of gambling. Pay off both sides.
What are you talking about? It was great for the better. What? Oh, you're pro casino now? Oh, good.
Yeah. I'm gonna
because
the casino.
Because they're not making enough off
of us. If I'm with the casino, I'm like, why?
Because you get paid every week. You're worried about the casino running out of money?
I'm one of the investors. Are we paying off losers now? Is this?
Yeah.
This isn't a good business model, is it?
It's a great business model. You know how much more goodwill they did?
You know what gamblers don't care about?
Goodwill.
Goodwill matters until they want their next paycheck. Where are we getting our money now? No, I'm done with them. Goodbye.
No. I'm staying with them forever.
These hoes ain't loyal.
These hoes are. Oh, gamblers?
They chase the money. Where's the best numbers? I want the best numbers.
Yeah, the gamblers are the loyalest people in the world.
Now, if you keep paying losers.
They'll give you all their money.
Yes, they will keep going to you if they know that they can win. On both sides of a bet. If they know that the Rockets win, if they get beat by 27 and the line's 13.5 and they still win with the Rockets, yes. You pay losers, right?
Yes, we're here at this great website. We pay winners and losers.
That's right.
Because we want your business. I'll stay with you forever.
That's right.
You guys are amazing.
They did
You're
it once.
Creating goodwill.
And you know what? They created Great Will.
Great Will?
Yeah. You see, I can't even remember what name it was of the website. Did Mike Trout lean into that pitch?
Yes.
He did.
Well, he kind of biggioed it. Just a little.
And he paid the price for it.
Yeah, he paid the price. Good, you should.
For those of you who didn't see, Mike Trout kind of, it looks like he lowered. He said, I was turning away, and it lowered my elbow. I did not lean into the pitch. I did not want to get hit, for those of you scoring at home. Well, it certainly looked like he leaned into it. I was listening to it on the radio, and Sparky and Robert Ford both said, man, it looks like he's leaning into this.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in some pain. It hit him right on. Now, he had a pad. He said the pad helped. He may even be back in the lineup tonight. We'll see. But he was running around and trying to shake that thing off. That looked like it was.
Rarely
it
do you see guys
in the elbow by a fastball. Sometime.
Rarely do you see guys get hurt where they show it that much. But that was one where it's just you couldn't.
He was in. No, that's a fun. You've hit your funny ball. Holy crap!
It's the worst.
Get hit by a fastball right in your elbow. See how that works out for you. Now, I don't believe he leaned into it, but he certainly didn't. He didn't shy away from it. That's for sure.
No.
Dave Gettleman. How many times has Dave Gettleman traded up in an NFL draft between Carolina and the Giants?
It's happened zero times.
Zero times. He's catching it too.
Do you
think he's just going to trade down now?
Yeah, he's.
I mean, not trade up. He's traded. He's never traded down.
He's already putting it out there that they're already floating it out there because Daniel Jeremiah came out and said there will be a right turn in NASCAR before Dave Gettleman
trades back,
and he goes, "Yeah, it was a funny line. No, it was really funny. That was good. But no, I definitely. There's lots of times we want to trade back, but I get bad offers, bad deals. We're not doing a bad deal to trade back, and all I can think of is." Teams trade back all the time. Everyone's taking a bad deal, or maybe they're clowning Gettleman. Maybe. Yeah. I just think Gettleman just doesn't know. I think he just doesn't know
or
what the value is.
You know, or
he took a running back second, which most people don't do that anymore.
Except.
He's a great running back, but most people.
And now they're paying for it.
Rumor has it that running back was potentially going to be on the trade.
Yeah.
On the trade market if they hadn't gotten their hands on Kenny Golladay. That he might have been moved. And I was thinking, man, that is crazy.
Why would you have to trade him if you don't get Golladay to get a receiver?
Yeah, it was going to be for Allen Robinson.
Oh.
That was too stupid.
Until they gave him franchise money.
Yeah, they franchised him. But Gettleman will consider trading. And it's the right move. That's a trade-out spot, 11. You can always say that about a lot of.
Well, it depends on who's still there.
You know what?
If Justin Fields is there, you can get something for them.
You know what Ballard told me the other day? This is good stuff. You're only going to hear it on this show. I guarantee you won't hear it on any other show. I said, how hard is it to trade back? Because everyone supposedly wants to trade back. He goes, oh, it's not hard. He said, you always have offers. I said, you always have hard. I would imagine sometimes it's hard. He goes, well, I mean, if they try to give you a bad offer, but if you have respect in the league and people know not to even. Call you with, he said, yeah, if you're a GM that doesn't know value or they think that you don't know what you're doing, they'll try to Gettleman you. They'll try to O'Brien you. But if they think you know what you're doing, they'll come with legitimate trades. He said, you can usually trade back if you want to, which I did not know that. Hmm. I never knew that you, and then Mike Tannenbaum said the same. No, it wasn't Mike Tannenbaum. It was Joe Banner said the same exact thing in the 33rd team Zoom call that we had a couple weeks ago. He said the same thing, that usually there's trades that you can make if you want to get out of your pick. I had no idea about that it was that easy. I always figured it'd be really hard, but apparently it's not that hard. And yet Gettleman passes because he says they're bad offers all the time. Well, either he doesn't know offer or people are trying to trick him because they think he's trickable, which I get it. I try to trick him too.
Yeah.
You know what you do? I mean, Chris Greer tricked the Texans into giving him not only that much for Laramie, but I think even more egregiously, a second-round pick for Kenny Stills.
Kenny Stills, that was the worst.
That was the most egregious thing I've ever heard of.
Don't even look at him.
I didn't say anything.
No, I mean,
it just warms my heart. But I'm actually sad that this particular cycle is coming to an end. Like, when the pick is made, unless even if maybe they trade down so it extends a little bit into the night, but I'm actually sad that the Laramie Tunsil pick will finally be used.
It won't though, because you don't. You still got something from next year.
That's true. There's a second round. There's a first round pick next year. But I hope this pick.
It's going to keep on paying. That is the gift that will that never stops giving.
There's an extra first round pick waiting for us next year too.
Maybe you could trade back again when you guys suck again.
We didn't suck this time.
You kind of sucked this year.
10-6. It didn't suck.
Yeah, it kind of sucked.
No, you won 10 games.
So next year you're going to be able to, when Tua sucks, okay?
You're trying to bait me, but I'm not going to take it. That's fine. I just know that your pick, that trade, is turning into the Herschel Walker trade. So I appreciate you guys.
You're turning into Sashi Brown.
Sashi Brown.
Yeah. He keeps trading back and never makes any picks.
No, he makes the picks.
No.
Yeah. Yes, no. He did.
Greer's already drafting players. Although, if you keep trading back, you never know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how about play football? You think he's going to. How about make a move?
You think he's going to trade out of the first round?
All the numbers nerds.
Is that what you think?
All the numbers nerds who are defending Sashi Brown. Sashi Brown literally oversaw a team that won one game in 2 years. Yeah. And there are people ready to fight you that or hack into you and try to ruin your credit with, you know, defending Sashi Brown. He did amazing. This is amazing. It's not amazing. If you keep look at all the draft capital he's got, somebody else is going to benefit from
all
the hard work.
To use that on
at some point, you have to sit down and get some core players. Not good. Just if you hoard, guess what? It's great to have four straws, but if you have 400 straws, you're a hoarder. You're not doing anything.
Do you want me to buy you guys the jersey of the guy they pick this year, or wait till they pick the guy next year so you can have both at the same time to commemorate the Laremy Tunsil trade? Do you want? Whether it be Pitts or Waddle or whoever this year, and then whoever they draft next year together, I can make it a package or just buy them individually and get you jerseys. Like with Smith, number 6. Do you want a jersey like that?
I don't want a shirt.
No.
Jersey?
No.
I don't want. No.
You sure? Because it's not like you get to celebrate a first round pick. I'm trying to bring some joy.
Okay. Do you get. So would he maybe have a Dolphins like.
Dolphins.
Maybe a Dolphins jersey, Texans hat?
No.
Yeah.
No. Like that?
No, I don't think.
No. He wants
holds it up and puts what Texans if it's, hat?
No, I want Bill O'Brien to make a selection. Man. That's what I'd love to happen.
I really do. I really do wonder if he's going to really, truly, fully appreciate when the Dolphins draft Jalen Waddle or not. Let's say Jamar Chase goes, let's say it goes 4-5 and the Dolphins were to get Waddle at 6. Is Bill O'Brien going to appreciate the irony of the Dolphins taking a Bama wide receiver where he is now? I mean, it's a circle of life for him. He's like, you know what? Yay, an Alabama player got drafted. But also, in a way, I made that happen. Like, in a way, I kind of
so when
drug the body down the hallway, I kind of dusted.
When Waddle goes back to Bama in the offseason, he has Dolphins gear on. Will Bill O'Brien look at him and go,
I got you there.
I made that happen.
I got you there. You wouldn't be a Dolphin if it wasn't for me.
It was for me.
Yeah. You might be a Texan. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
You don't? Well.
Yeah, it isn't fun anymore, is it?
No, it's not all fun and games.
When
it's not fun anymore.
When you're saying those hateful things
There's
you said earlier in the show, and now when it turns into not having draft picks, it really isn't fun. Actually, it makes it like you can't even make jokes about Dracula or vampires. There's really nothing funny about having a football team that doesn't have draft picks and has a terrible ownership and terrible.
You know what? I feel like I made a mistake putting it off to next season. I'm going to get you jerseys for the first round pick and the second round pick for this year. I'll get you both a jersey. Maybe they'll take Travis Etienne in the second round at 36 overall. So I'll get you a Would you like the first round jersey or the second round jersey? You guys can make a decision.
I don't like the phrase jersey. I don't want
That's
anything.
What they're called.
Yeah, I don't want them. I don't want a jersey.
Okay, so you'll get the ATN jersey or jersey. You'll get the Waddle one, John, okay?
I'll take ATN. That's fine.
Okay, cool.
I don't want anything to do with any of this. A Dolphins jersey.
It's so much fun.
It's part shirt. It's 10 o'clock. Part jersey.
It's jersey. A jersey.
It's 10 o'clock. Time for you to go.
You can dry your car with it.
Bye, bitch.
Whoa.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com.